This is World Soccer Talk Radio here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Nate Abarea. Get at me in the wild thing known as the Twitter sphere at NateWST. The love mail, and as you all already send me, the beautiful, beautiful hate mail again at NateWST. At World Soccer Talk with all of your soccer-inclined Twitter gold, and at Sports Byline USA for updates on this show and all of the rest of the fine programming within the Sports Byline family. Thanks for subscribing to this show, World Soccer Talk Radio, on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher, and checking out the website that started it all, worldsoccertalk.com. Søren Frank is going to be joining us in this edition of the show, a writer that if you're a fan of worldsoccertalk.com, you are quite familiar with. He's also the author of Standing on the Shoulders of Giants, a cultural analysis of Manchester United, a book that came out in English a couple of years ago. And it is a deep, deep look at the history of Manchester United and how Man United transitioned from a proud English club and an English giant into a true global entity. And you hear this terminology quite a bit, or you read this quite a bit within that book, aggressive marketing, just how aggressive in regards to commercialization and globalization, how aggressive Manchester United were, more aggressive than really any other club in the world in establishing a global standing. It is very interesting, and we will talk about the present day. We'll talk a little bit about Louis van Gaal. And Søren also penned a recent article on worldsoccertalk.com that talks about David Moyes being a massive setback for Manchester United and how Moyes was in quite a few ways, the wrong successor to Sir Alex Ferguson. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Many of you know how I feel about how hard done David Moyes was at Old Trafford. So we'll get into that with Søren Frank on the other side of this break, right here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay with us. It's the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We love you. We love you. Stay tuned.
See the world's best matches live, wherever you are, with Fox Soccer To Go. Watch select live matches on your smartphone, on your tablet, and on your computer. Get the app, get the games, and get your fix. Live soccer and more. Anytime, anywhere.
Sign up to watch the Bundesliga and Champions League at soccerondish.com.
Are you sick and tired of cable and satellite prices going up and up and up? If you're a sports fan like me, one of the main reasons you're keeping your TV subscription is to watch ESPN. But did you know that you can cut the cord, cancel your TV subscription, and watch ESPN live and legally on your computer, tablet, Roku, or phone, and save a ton of money? With a subscription to Sling TV, you can watch all the ESPN, ESPN2, TNT, TBS, and AMC that you want. Plus, you also get the SEC Network, ESPN Bases Loaded, ESPN Buzzer Beater, Univision, and much more. From SportsCenter to Hoops, Sling TV has got the best in live sports action and commentary. And today, you can get a free 7-day trial to Sling TV just by going to slingmytv.com. Again, to get a 7-day free trial to Sling TV, go to slingmytv.com today. That's slingmytv.com.
If you're a soccer fan and you want to cut the cord and watch more of the beautiful game, NGSN may be the online streaming service you're looking for. FreeSoccerTrial.com. With NGSN, you get live, legal, and on-demand access to matches from the Eredivisie, J-League from Japan, K-League from Korea, Argentina's Primera Division, Portugal, Ecuador, Russian Premier League, as well as leagues from Bolivia, Venezuela, and more. The games are in HD, and commentaries are available in your choice of English or Spanish. And this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the US. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 30-day trial to NGSN. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-414-1051. That's 1-800-414-1051. 1-800-414-1051. Call now.
World Soccer Talk Radio back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. My name is Nate Aberea. Tweet me at NateWST and tweet us all at World Soccer Talk. Our guest in this edition of the show is a writer for WorldSoccerTalk.com. You're probably quite familiar with his work. He's also the author of a fantastic book entitled Standing on the Shoulders of Giants, a cultural analysis of Manchester United, also a professor at the University of Southern Denmark. Søren Frank, thanks for joining us. How you doing, sir?
Thank you, Nate. Very good to be here, and thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. So, hey, I'm quite familiar with your work on the website. I actually, speaking even as a Liverpool supporter, I love the book. And one thing that I want to know first off is, how did you become a Manchester United supporter? And knowing your Danish roots, I'm wondering, is it Peter Schmeichel related?
No, actually not. It goes further back. It's a long story, but we have some minutes, right? So to be honest, it actually dates back to when I was a six-year-old kid. And Danish television had just started to transmit these games from the English first division at that time. So one Saturday afternoon, I was watching a game with my father and our neighbor, and it was what has become very legendary a TV match in Denmark, the match between Manchester United and West Bromwich Albion at Old Trafford in 1978. And Manchester United actually lost 5-3. But, I mean, the match was just an incredible match with some beautiful goals, and West Bromwich Albion had these three coloured players, which were quite unusual at the time, but also Manchester United had some great legends at that time. Gordon McQueen, I remember. So it was a fantastic match, and that was when it all started. Of course, as a six-year-old, I didn't actually kind of sediment into Manchester United. I surfed around a bit, but I guess when the Danish winger Jesper Olsen came to United in 1984, I really became a fan.
Well, talk about that a little bit further as far as the happenings of the Danish connection with Manchester United, because you know, back in the 1990s, it was a huge deal of such an iconic Danish figure in Peter Schmeichel joining, yes, Manchester United, becoming such a great club. But obviously, it goes back even further than that. Talk a little bit about that interesting national connection in Denmark to a club in England.
Something certainly happened in 84 when Jesper Olsen joined. He was bought from Ajax by Ron Atkinson, and already at that point, Jesper Olsen had scored some vital goals and made some great contributions for the Danish national team, actually against England. I think it was maybe 82 or 83. And he had performed very, very well in Ajax. He is a very Ajax school player, so people were wondering if he had the physical dimension to survive in the English first division. But Ron Atkinson believed in him, so he bought him, and he also bought Gordon Strachan, the other very small midfielder. But the Jesper Olsen transfer started something in Denmark, I think, at least in my generation. Maybe the generation before had a connection with Manchester United because of the Munich air disaster in 58. But in my generation, I think Jesper Olsen was the one who set up the connection between United and a lot of Danish supporters, because in Denmark, there's no doubt about Liverpool is the biggest club. Also today, I think. I'm not sure about the numbers, but Liverpool is a huge club in Denmark. Due, of course, to their successful teams in the 70s and 80s. When Peter Schmeichel arrived, and of course with the success that Alex Ferguson and Manchester United got in the 90s, and with the role of Peter Schmeichel in that success, Cantona, Roy Keane, of course, but also the class of 92. But Peter Schmeichel played a huge role in kind of consolidating and increasing the number of supporters in Denmark. And they have a really huge fan base in not just Denmark, but in the whole of Scandinavia. Norway is more crazy than Denmark about Man United, of course, especially because of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Well, absolutely. And you're bringing back the 99 treble team. You're getting the old band back together the more you bring these names up. Now, you touch on something that I absolutely love, and I've talked about this with guests on the show who hail from Ireland. I've also talked about this with other guests from countries in Scandinavia. The Liverpool-Manchester United rivalry being alive in multiple countries, not just, you know, a Manchester United following or a Liverpool following being alive in these places, but the actual Liverpool-Man U hatred, the rivalry, the classic Northern English rivalry, Northwest English rivalry, I should say, is alive in all these countries. Talk about what that's like when Liverpool play Man United in a place like Denmark, where they're two of the most popular teams in the country, and it's two English sides.
Well, I you know, it goes far back, but I think actually that with the success and of course the global network channeling of all these major leagues. I mean, the Danish National League is I think its popularity is maybe decreasing in regard to an increase in the popularity of the English Premier League, especially, but also the European Champions League, and with that development, the rivalry of two clubs far away from Denmark in the northwest of England is actually kind of dominating the newspapers, and of course a city like Copenhagen with a lot of Man U fans and Liverpool fans. You can feel it in the city when these teams meet, and quite often the TV channels do some special features when Liverpool and Man United are clashing. Although I'm not myself that much into the hatred vocabulary, I appreciate the rivalry, but I don't know if I actually write about this in the book, but as far as I'm concerned, there are actually quite a lot of similarities between the clubs of Liverpool and Manchester United. I can appreciate the success and the history of Liverpool too, but of course I'm a Man United fan, but it adds some spice and some color to these matches. And whatever happens with Arsenal, Manchester City, and Chelsea, you cannot deny history.
Well, and Søren, you definitely are a scholar and a fan of history, and I know that from reviewing much of your work. And in the minute that we've got left here before we head to break, I'm curious, can you touch on that for you? What is the greatest similarity between Manchester United and Liverpool?
Well, I think there are several similarities. Also, you can also find some similarities in the kind of club ethos or ideology, for example, between FC Barcelona and Manchester United, I think. But in terms of the Liverpool Manchester United, I mean, they both have these very, very strong roots in the northwest industrialization of England in the 19th century, and of course, and also in the 20th century. They have in their most successful periods played a form of soccer that has fascinated the whole world with, attack-minded, fluid, soccer, and they have Scottish managers dominating their history. there's a lot of similarities, I think. But of course, because they are so very close to each other in terms of geography, but maybe also in terms of identity, the clash is even greater because, I mean, who's the best, who's the greatest club? That's where the rivalry is in terms of history and the English First Division and Premier League.
Well, whether it's Bill Shankly, whether it's Alex Ferguson, Scottish football managers in the northwest of England are definitely quite the historically important thing to note as far as the pathways to success of both Liverpool and Manchester United. This is a whole lot of fun talking with Søren Frank here on World Soccer Talk Radio. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that book that Søren published back in 2013, I believe it was. And we'll get into a little present-day Manchester United talk. We'll talk about LVG, the man who, as Thomas Rundgren said, he doesn't teach. Pardon me, he doesn't learn, he teaches. There we go, we'll get that right sometime. Nate Haberea and Søren Frank back here with you after this on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
If you're a soccer fan and you want to cut the cord and watch more of the beautiful game, NGSN may be the online streaming service you're looking for, freesoccertrial.com. With NGSN, you get live, legal, and on-demand access to matches from the Eredivisie, J-League from Japan, K-League from Korea, Argentina's Primera Division, Portugal, Ecuador, Russian Premier League, as well as leagues from Bolivia, Venezuela, and more. The games are in HD, and commentaries are available in your choice of English or Spanish. And this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the US. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 30-day trial to NGSN. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Are you sick and tired of cable and satellite prices going up and up and up? If you're a sports fan like me, one of the main reasons you're keeping your TV subscription is to watch ESPN. But did you know that you can cut the cord, cancel your TV subscription, and watch ESPN live and legally on your computer, tablet, Roku, or phone and save a ton of money? With a subscription to Sling TV, you can watch all the ESPN, ESPN2, TNT, TBS, and AMC that you want. Plus, you also get the SEC Network, ESPN Bases Loaded, ESPN Buzzer Beater, Univision, and much more. From SportsCenter to Hoops, Sling TV has got the best in live sports action and commentary. And today, you can get a free 7-day trial to Sling TV just by going to slingmytv.com. Again, to get a 7-day free trial to Sling TV, go to slingmytv.com today. That's slingmytv.com.
See the world's best matches live, wherever you are, with Fox Soccer To Go. Watch select live matches on your smartphone, on your tablet, and on your computer. Get the app, get the games, and get your fix. Live soccer and more. Anytime, anywhere.
Sign up to watch the Bundesliga and Champions League at soccerondish.com.
Football season is back, and this time around it's all about you, the fan. Thanks to Rebel.tv, now you can call the action for your favorite college and pro teams for free. It's your team, so why not give your fans your call? Just mute your TV and provide your own play-by-play or armchair commentary, or listen to other fans like you who love your team as much as you do. With Rebel.tv, you can create and enjoy sports broadcasts created by fans on your desktop through your iOS, Android app, or through your mobile browser. So blitz the booth this football season and go to Rebel.tv to schedule a broadcast today.
Welcome back into World Soccer Talk Radio here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, WorldSoccerTalk.com, Twitter at World Soccer Talk, and tweet me at NateWST. My name is Nate Haberea. We are joined by Søren Frank, and let's talk a little bit more, Søren, about the book, and as we were talking there a few moments ago, the original version came out in 2008, the Norwegian version came out in 2011, and then the updated English version out in 2013. The book entitled Standing on the Shoulders of Giants, A Cultural Analysis of Manchester United. You take a real deep look into, you talk about the ethos and you talk about the history of this club and how it relates to the present day. And one of the things I really enjoyed about the book is how you relate the history to how things are still handled in the present day. And even with foreign ownership involved, how there's still things that go back to the deep roots in the 1800s of this football club. Talk about for you, first off, where the original idea and passion for this idea came from, and for the book, how did you actually come to produce this thing back in originally in 2008?
Yeah, you know, I'm as you mentioned in the beginning, I'm a literary scholar at a university, actually. So I guess if when I started out studying comparative literature here in Denmark, I had this vague idea that I mean, it's a kind of a discipline or an education that is more or less useless. I mean, it doesn't lead to any specific job. So I had this vague idea about writing about soccer or music when I had finished my degree. But as I kind of got more and more into literary studies, at this point in Denmark, it wasn't looked upon very very nicely if people with my education wrote about music and soccer. It was all high elite cultural stuff and the canonical authors one should write about. So when I had finished my PhD in 2006, I was without a job. But luckily, one of my close colleagues at the University of Southern Denmark had actually just published a shorter book on Real Madrid. And one of my mentors, a professor at Stanford University in the U.S., Hans-Ulrich Gumbrecht, had just written a book called In Praise of Athletic Beauty. So I thought, well, if these two guys can do it, why don't I do it? I was without a job. Didn't know what my future would bring, so I kind of contacted this this publisher in Denmark and asked them if they would be interested in a book on Manchester United, and they responded very quickly and said yes. And of course, when I started out the project, I didn't really know what it was leading to, and I thought I had this idea of a book on 150, 200 pages, but as I got into the history of the club, it just went on and on. So I ended up writing the original Danish book. I think it was about, I can't remember, 300, 350 pages. The English version is shortened a little bit. But I think it probably, I mean, I went to and fro from the project. I probably spend between 6 months and 9 months full-time writing it. And it was a great period in my life. I got to know the club I loved very intimately. But it was also, I mean, we had some, the publisher and I had some discussions about how to do this. Originally, we actually wanted to include interviews with the Danish players that have been in Manchester United. You know, Peter Schmeichel, the legend, Jesper Olsen, we talked about. And then at the same time Jesper Olsen was at United, there was a Danish fullback called John Sivebæk. He's not that famous, but he was also at United under Ron Atkinson. And then there was this talented Danish player in the beginning of the millennium called Mads Timm, who never really... I mean, he didn't have his breakthrough. He's in Denmark now. But of course, all hinged upon the fact if Peter Schmeichel wanted to do it, because if he didn't wanted to do it, it would look odd with the other three interviews and not Peter Schmeichel. Peter Schmeichel decided not to contribute. And then I took this decision about not including interviews, and this was going to be my book, my version. So what I basically did, I'm not trained as a journalist. I'm trained as a literary scholar. So I'm not, I didn't go about interviewing people, not just the Danish players in United, but I didn't go about interviewing a lot of people in Manchester and around the world. So I basically went to the archives and I read more or less, I wouldn't say everything, but I read pretty much everything that's been published about Manchester United. I went through old newspaper cuts. I saw a lot of television recordings and movies about Manchester United, and basically went through every season match by match, more or less. So there was a lot of research behind the book. But then there's also this, I don't know what to call it, maybe the intellectual style of the book, which is very much concerned about both the cultural identity of Manchester United as a soccer club, historically speaking, but also the aesthetic fascination about football as a game in general. So there are several dimensions in the book, and it is an academic book. It's an intellectual history, and some people might like it, and some might not.
Well, one of the things that I enjoyed about the kind of the strategy of the way you wrote it is the big focus on the transition within the culture of Manchester United in regards to globalization. I brought up already that you really delve deep into the history of this club and finding out where these mentalities come from and what the roots of them are. And one of the most interesting parts of the book, and this is just one of the most interesting parts of the history of this great club, is the transition into becoming a global entity and how aggressive, use that word, aggressive, yeah, in the book, how Manchester United, more than any other club, made it their responsibility going, we are going to tackle globalization. We are going to be the global brand. We are going to be, quote unquote, aggressive about this. We've got 3 minutes, a little under 3 minutes, actually, before we got to head to another break here, Søren. But talk about that and how interesting that was to analyze and what you think that means about Manchester United, how they were really the pioneers of football globalization.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably referring, but you could take it back a little longer, but you're probably referring to the beginning of the 90s when this explicit globalization with the TV networks and stuff like that, the English Premier League has its first season. I think it's in 1991, 92 or something. Manchester United, with all the you could say tumultuous transitions that they went through with ownership, the Edwards family, Michael Knighton coming in and wanting to buy the club, he doesn't succeed, and of course with the Glazer family, something really important happens in terms of the club's and the fans' understanding of the club. It could be categorized as a rupture in the otherwise very continuous history of Manchester United. But you could take it further back to the Matt Busby era when he had this vision of Manchester United conquering Europe, and the project kind of ends catastrophically in Munich when in 1958 we have the Munich air disaster where 8 Manchester United players die, and something happens in the aftermath of that accident, of that catastrophe, and United start to, as a club, start to take advantage of the sympathy and empathy that comes in from not just Great Britain but from the whole world, and they begin to talk about themselves as a specific, unique club that's experienced this disaster. And when they triumph 10 years after in the European Cup for the first time, this is kind of Matt Busby's holy grail that he achieves. They do it 10 years after that the club and the team has been destroyed. They do it with, I think it's 8 homegrown players. So there is this fascinating story about youth and continuity. at the same time that the club has been undergone the most dramatic transition. So this identity, this understanding of themselves as victims, as survivors, they create this narrative that they in the 1990s, when globalization really takes off in terms of football clubs branding themselves and marketing themselves aggressively. United are probably the first, together with Real Madrid, to do that.
And Søren, we'll finish this here on the other side of the break. Want to continue this, definitely talk about the globalization of Manchester United here on the other side of the break. World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
This is Shaquille O'Neal.
And the Shaqettes.
Reminding you that anytime is a good time.
Good time.
For the cooling, drying, fresh scent of Gold Bond Powder Spray. Like after the gym.
Or a crowded elevator ride.
Or golf.
Or working with farm animals.
Or a hard day's work.
Like sports casting.
You said it, ladies. Stay cool with Gold Bond Powder Spray.
Stay cool with Gold Bond.
Save your business time and money with Lowe's Pro Services. You'll find everything pros need for the whole job, like 15% off fiberglass extension ladders and 15% off Property Advantage paint manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Plus, save an extra 5% when you use your Lowe's business credit card. Go to Lowe's today or visit the new lowesforpros.com. Ladder and paint offers valid 8-1 through 8-7. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Exclusions apply and can't be combined with other credit offers.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-221-0010 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-221-0010. That's 888-221-0010.
The Sports Byline collection of original full-length interviews of today's stars and past sports legends is now available in the Sports Byline Audio Vault at sportsbyline.com. Players, managers, coaches, broadcasters, commissioners, and owners talk about their teams, games, careers, unforgettable moments, and disappointments in this unique collection of original full-length interviews. It works on iPhones, iPads, and Android devices. Go to sportsbyline.com and click on the vault.
Rick Pitino joins us on Sports Byline.
Everybody wants to succeed. Everybody wants to have success in their life. Everybody wants to prosper in their life. If you give them a way to do that, they'll understand that message. If you just say it's wrong just for the sake of wrong, or it's just wasted time, that's not going to impact their ideas or their concepts. But when you tell them if you do it a certain way, it's going to lead to prosperity and success, then they listen, and very attentively.
Go to sportsbyline.com and click on The Vault.
World Soccer Talk Radio back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. And soccer fans, it is the first game week, or now the first game week of the Premier League is over. We're into match week 2 in the Barclays Premier League. We got several great ones this weekend, but one in particular that's standing out from the schedule, that is Man City and Chelsea. World Soccer Talk Radio listeners, I would like to invite you to join expert Chelsea writer Gary Hayes. He'll be sharing his thoughts and opinions during the City-Chelsea game live on Rabble.tv. With Rabble, the concept is simple. All you got to do, tune into the TV broadcast, press the mute button, then head on over to Rabble.tv to listen to Gary sharing his analysis. With Rabble, you can listen to his broadcast on your desktop, through your iOS app, and now through your mobile browser. Plus, you can join in by posting your questions or observations in the comment section. Or how about this? Create your own broadcast. Call one of your team's games, whether it's in the Premier League, Major League Soccer, La Liga, Bundesliga. You want to call a UFC fight. You want to call a baseball game. You can do it on Rabble. It is a fantastic concept, and a huge thank you to Rabble.tv again for their continued support of World Soccer Talk Radio. Join our friend Gary Hayes on Rabble this Sunday, 10:45 a.m. Eastern Time here in the States. It's your team and your call, Rabble.tv. And again this Sunday, Man City and Chelsea with Gary Hayes on Rabble.tv. My name is Nate Abarea. Surin Frank is with us here in this edition of the show, and we're talking all about the book that Surin wrote, Standing on the Shoulders of Giants, A Cultural Analysis of Manchester United. And we had to kind of throw a little brief pause there in the discussion as we had to head to that last break. And so let's pick up right where we left off, Surin. I really like what you're doing here and digging deeper into the globalization of Manchester United and going back to the 1950s and the 1960s, because a lot of people do look at the 90s as this time of, oh, that's when Manchester United became this big global entity. No, it's a lot deeper than that. And so you talk about the 50s, the 60s, and you got into the 1970s there. Kind of guide us into the 1990s, if you can, when that globalization definitely went to a whole nother level for the Red Devils.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the club ownership has been a really big point of discussion in the history of Manchester United. And in the book, I also look into, through other sources, how the Edwards family kind of overtook the club for almost nothing, and the way they did it was maybe even ethical problematical. Anyway, when Martin Edwards takes over as a chief executive of the board, he is actually maybe a problematic figure in the history of Manchester United and the eyes of many fans, but he is one of the people in the history of Manchester United that is also very visionary in terms of leading Manchester United into this global era. And I guess you could say that Manchester United, the club represents extremes. So at one point you have this dimension of the club that is always in the forefront of change and the next step and kind of maybe even leading to the betrayal of the roots. But at the other side, you have a dimension that is always faithful to the roots. And Martin Edwards is probably seen as the one who were always kind of betraying the roots. Whereas you had Alex Ferguson, the Scottish manager coming from a working ground background and a working class background, and he was kind of the security. The same with Matt Busby in the 50s, and when he was manager and Martin Edwards' father Louis Edwards was the chairman and owner of Manchester United. So you have these two poles in the history of United. The one pole always transgressing traditions and looking forward into the future, and in that sense, I think Martin Edwards was one of the key figures of leading Manchester United into the status they have today. And I mean, a lot of faithful fans love repeating the histories of United as the club that is based in Manchester and always wanting their own players to come through the academy, and the working class roots are not forgotten. But one shouldn't forget that a very fundamental dimension behind this success that they had under Ferguson and today are the money that they create in terms of revenue and merchandise and stuff like that.
Now, let's kind of transition back into the present day, or at least close to the present day. A recent article that you penned for worldsoccertalk.com you within it, sir, and you discussed some of the maybe mistakes at the end of the Sir Alex Ferguson era. And some people might hear that and go, mistakes? I mean, they won the title in his final season. Well, the quote-unquote mistake, or whatever we want to call it, that you referenced, one of the main ones that you referenced, was Alex Ferguson's enthusiasm and recommendation of David Moyes being the one to take over. And there was also some differing reports in terms of how enthusiastic Fergie really was about Moyes being the successor after all the years for Fergie at Manchester United. In hindsight, who do you think should have been selected as Alex Ferguson's successor? And how much of a role did Fergie really have in choosing the next manager to take over?
Well, I'm not familiar with all the inside information that some people may have, but as I see the way the club was run at the time, and as I look at who were the board members, Bobby Charlton might for one be very supportive of the Alex Ferguson way of thinking. They represent Manchester United and the history of Manchester United, and Bobby Charlton represents the link back to the Matt Busby era. I cannot see that the Glazer family would be in any way supportive of David Moyes if Alex Ferguson wasn't supportive of David Moyes. David Moyes was the... the idea with David Moyes, I think, was that he was the young version of Alex Ferguson. And that was Ferguson is a romantic. He's both a realist, but he's also very romantic. He's got a romantic idea of soccer. I mean, look at all the adventures that we have experienced with Manchester United during his years with Fergie time and goals in the last minute and injury time and stuff like that. He's a gambler. So there's the romantic side to Ferguson, and I think it was the romantic, nostalgic side to Ferguson that led to him choosing David Moyes as his successor. I cannot see any other than him doing that. And with the role he had, with the kind of status he had at the moment, the Glazer family and Bobby Charlton went with him, I think. But, I mean, people can speculate about this for very long. Ferguson has himself said in his autobiography that it wasn't his decision alone, and probably it wasn't, but I cannot see David Moyes being chosen if Ferguson didn't vouch for it. Who they should have... I mean, I myself was actually believing that the David Moyes choice was a logical choice in the beginning, but I mean, I think it became clear to everybody that it was a mismatch somehow. Some people still believe that he should have been given more time, and I think the Louis van Gaal period shows that I think everybody expected Louis van Gaal to come in and repair things quicker than he has done. So, I mean, clearly this shows that David Moyes was not just a failure. He was presented with an enormously difficult task. Anyway, you asked who they should have chosen. My memory isn't that good because, I mean, there's also the question about who is available. But, I mean... The Jose Mourinho link was very hot at one moment, and he's a very fascinating manager. He's a very successful manager, and he's got a bond with Alex Ferguson. I like him as a manager, but I'm not sure that he would have fitted into Manchester United.
Could you imagine Jose Mourinho being the successor to Sir Alex Ferguson? It was actually talked about quite a bit. Surin brings this up. It was quite the hot topic back in the year 2013, in that summer, of Jose Mourinho coming back to England to manage Manchester United. Well, we all know how things ended up going, but we can look back and just imagine if Jose Mourinho would have been the successor of Sir Alex Ferguson. Hey, we've got about 3 minutes left here, sir, and let's get right back in to the present day with Manchester United. Louis van Gaal, a very polarizing character. I bring up that quote from our good friend Thomas Rongen quite a bit on this show. You know, he doesn't learn, he teaches. LVG is a very stubborn man. He's also a very brilliant man. What do you make of the fact that Louis van Gaal is only going to be at Manchester United for the next couple, maybe three seasons at the most, that he's got this little window that he said, I'm moving on after this? What does that mean to the grand scheme of Manchester United, and how much are you backing LVG at Old Trafford?
First of all, I'm not sure that he is set to leave after. I mean, he's got this 3-year contract. I think he recently told us that maybe he would stay longer, but of course it depends on him being successful or not. He knows what is demanded of him, and that is the trophy, the championship, either this year or next year. What do I make of him? I think he's a character that suits Manchester United well at this. Clearly, he's a transitional figure, but everybody were bound to be transitional figures after Alex Ferguson's 26, 27 years, which is kind of unheard of in at that level in modern soccer. So, he's been hired to kind of stabilize the great ship, right? I think he's the right man to do it, but there's no doubt that he is a polarizing man, and some people buy into his famous philosophy and some don't. And we have already seen episodes with people committing themselves to them wanting to work hard for him, wanting to please him. And we've seen episodes with surprisingly, some people like Robin van Persie and Victor Valdez, who had a history, a positive history with Van Gaal, who he has kind of skipped out of Old Trafford. But he brings a vision and a history of trophies to Manchester United that we didn't see David Moyes bringing in. I mean, everybody knew that David Moyes wasn't a winning manager. Remember that Alex Ferguson had won things with Aberdeen before he came to Manchester United, but David Moyes hadn't won anything with Everton. Louis van Gaal brings a history of triumph, and he also has this history of bringing youth through his teams. I think my recent article on World Soccer Talk precisely talks about this 1995 year with Van Gaal winning the Champions League with Ajax, and Alex Ferguson bringing through the class of 92. When he skipped, I think it was Andre Kanchelskis and Paul Inch and Mark Hughes out of Old Trafford in order to make way for youth. So there are very many similarities between the two managers.
Well, and I love, Søren, that you bring up the fact that LVG brings in this bit of a winning aura, you know, to him. And there is a reason. There's a method to the madness, and there is a reason for the confidence and the bit of the swagger that LVG has, without a doubt. Søren, real quick, I know that people can still get the book on Amazon.com and many a good bookstores around the world. How can they get a hold of you via social media? Let us know real quick.
Get a hold of me. I don't know. I'm on Facebook. What else?
Well, we'll get you a Twitter set up, but in the meantime, get it.
Oh, sorry.
Frank.
I don't have Twitter. Sorry.
Okay, get at him on Facebook. Give him some United love on the Facebook. Sir and Frank, thank you so much for joining us, sir. I really appreciate your time. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
Again, that was Sir and Frank, the author of Standing on the Shoulders of Giants, a cultural analysis of Manchester United. Back to close this thing out after this right here, World Soccer Talk Radio.
Hey, Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Are you a business owner or an individual who owes the IRS? Then be prepared to write down an important phone number. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? Do you need to file back tax returns? Are you dealing with bank levies and wage garnishments? It's time to deal with your IRS problem today. Call Certified Tax Tax Representation now. Certified Tax Tax Representation, Inc. represents clients just like you in all 50 states. They will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client, and you can become a client immediately. It's time for you to face your IRS problems. Think about how great you're going to feel when you're represented by a company who's an advocate for you, who knows the law, who also will contact the IRS the same day you become a client. Call today for your free, no obligation consultation. Call now, 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064. Not all cases are typical and some may not qualify. The consultation is free and so is the call, so call right now. 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
World Soccer Talk Radio back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. All the European leagues are returning to action this month. What better way to enjoy the best players in the world than by playing one of the most unique fantasy soccer games? It's the Euro Fantasy League. You get to select your team from all the leagues. Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, France, Holland, Portugal, wherever you want them from. You can pick them, and then you compile your team from there. So imagine, you could have a fantasy team that includes Ronaldo, Aguero, Pogba, Zlatan, Rooney, and Messi. Not a half bad side or any other combination of world-class footballers. Play for free or enter the $1 or $10 games. You could win up to $500 or $5,000. You kidding me? $10 game, you win $5,000 playing Euro Fantasy League soccer. Again, head on over, EuroFantasyLeague.com. We're taking the express train home. We're done in 10 seconds. For the producers in San Francisco and the gaffer Christopher Harris, my name's Nate Abarea. Enjoy your footballing weekend. I will talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.